Listen to me. If you're a believer in here, we all have work to do. We have work to do. We want to depopulate hell and populate heaven. But when we get there, it's time to party. And I understand Paul's message when he says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Right now, man, we're going to live for Jesus. We're going to do a lot of work. We're going to share the gospel. But when we die, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome back to In Christ Radio and our Hope Restored series. We've watched this incredible journey from rubble to restoration. And now in Nehemiah chapter 12, something happens that would have seemed impossible when this book began. The people stand on the very walls that once lay in ruins. Think about that. The place that once represented their shame has become the platform of their praise. Nehemiah and Ezra organize two great Thanksgiving choirs. They move in opposite directions along the wall until God's people gather together in worship. And then we read that they offered great sacrifice and rejoiced because God had made them rejoice with great joy. Their wives rejoiced, their children rejoiced. And scripture tells us that the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. What a picture of restoration. The enemy once mocked that wall. Now God's people are standing on it, worshiping. What once represented Israel's defeat became a testimony to God's faithfulness. Their sacrifice became service, their service became celebration, and their celebration became worship. Sometimes God doesn't remove the place of our greatest pain. He rebuilds it until the very place that once testified of your brokenness becomes a testimony of His grace. Today's question is, what has God rebuilt in your life that you need to stop looking at with regret and start celebrating as evidence of His faithfulness? Let's join Pastor Ben in Nehemiah chapter 12 in the lesson titled, Three Ways to Worship.
Mattaniah was a prayer warrior. In the School of Ministry Church, that's the very first thing we talked about was prayer, the prayer life of the leader, prayer. We can worship the Lord with our presence and with prayer. Mattaniah was a gifted prayer warrior. I heard a story that I'll share with you. It was Dr. Helen Rosevere. She was a missionary to Zaire. She told the following story. Listen. A mother at our mission station died after giving birth to a premature baby. We tried to improvise an incubator to keep the infant alive, but the only hot water bottle we had was beyond repair. And so we asked the children to pray for the baby and her sister. And one of the girls responded, "Dear Lord, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late, because then the baby will be dead. And dear Lord, send a doll for her sister so she won't feel so lonely." That afternoon, a large package arrived from England, and the children watched eagerly as we opened it. Much to their surprise, under some of the clothing was a hot water bottle. Immediately, the girl who prayed so earnestly started to dig deeper, exclaiming, "If God sent that, I'm sure He also sent a doll." And she was right. The Heavenly Father knew in advance of that child's sincere request, and 5 months earlier, He had led the ladies' group to include both of those specific articles. Prayer. Prayer. That's worship, guys. How's our prayer life? Are we really believing that God can do the impossible? Okay? Spoiler alert, sometimes I don't. Sometimes my prayers, I feel like fishing. You ever gone fishing and you just throw it out there and just you kind of look at your brother and say, "I don't think there's any fish in this lake, man. I hadn't got a bite in an hour," and that's how we do pray. We're just gonna throw it up. Maybe, Raina, maybe. And that's not how God is. God is like, "Look, I got you." The problem is I have to check my own heart in my prayers. What am I praying for? What's my motive? What am I praying for? And so I have to be so careful. Lord, I want to line up with Your will. I love the fact that the Lord lets us ask. He lets us ask, okay? And then sometimes He just like, He probably rubs His forehead and He's like, "Okay, But I love the fact that God answers and sometimes doesn't answer prayer. I love the fact that there are times when it's like, oh, wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Number two, guys, you worship by your praise. You worship by your praise. See, when the people dedicated the walls, they had a powerful praise service. Guess what? It was filled with music. It was filled with praise, and praise filled the atmosphere. And so many people think our worship services are just built on tradition. Well, this is what we've always done at Calvary Chapel. But here we have a biblical precedent for our worship services. You go, what do you mean? Here's what you need to jot down. Singing is mentioned 8 times. Singing. Pastor, I can't sing. Just sing. Thanksgiving is mentioned 6 times. Rejoicing is mentioned 7 times. Musical instruments, there you go, are mentioned 3 times. And think about this, singing and thanksgiving and rejoicing. This is worship with making much of God, making much of Jesus. And they split the choir into 2 groups. Ezra led one group and Nehemiah led the other. And they walked around the walls of the city and they met at the house of God. Can you imagine? Wouldn't you want to be in that number? That would have been amazing. Wow. And so think about this. You worship by your praise. How so? Well, let me give you the 5th group. Let me give you, they're singers and worshipers. Nehemiah 11, 22 and 23. But the overseer of the Levites at Jerusalem was Uzi, the son of Bani, the son of Heshbiah, the son of Mattaniah, there's our prayer warrior, the son of Micah and the sons of Ahath, the singers in charge of the service of the house of God. For it was the king's command concerning them that a certain portion should be for the singers, a quota day by day. Okay, so let's break this down. The worshipers, okay? The worshipers, important in God's economy, those that were just content to sing out and God took notice. Put on your thinking caps because again, the worshipers, just singing. God takes notice. Oh, guys, walking around our house, just singing out loud. Yeah, Pastor, I don't have a good voice. It didn't say anything about having a great voice. I mean, some of you have some great voices, but this doesn't say anything about that. But I know God takes notice. Think about this, okay? Put on your thinking caps. How do you test a piece of glass for perfection? You hit it softly with your fingers on the edge. If it sings, it's whole. If it has a flat sound, it is chipped somewhere. When a piece of glass has come through the fire and been perfected, it sings. It sings. Think about it. You've been through the fire. You've been perfected by Him. Sing. Sing. What a beautiful expression to Jesus, just to sing unto Him. Here's what we learned so far, church. The first lesson, we're reminded that God doesn't forget our service. He knows and He sees our service. Number 2, your rewards are determined not by fanfare, but by faithfulness. Faithfulness. He says, well done, good and faithful. So as we move into chapter 12, we see that yet there's another celebration going on here. You go, what's happening? Ready? Jot this down. It's time to dedicate the wall. It's time to dedicate the wall. The wall is built, the gates are hung, it's well-defended, beautiful city filled with people, and it's time to celebrate. The Lord Jesus is into celebrations, right? What was His first miracle? Where? At a wedding at Cana, right? Wasn't that a celebration? That was beautiful. He's into celebrations. He loves that. I want you to think about this. The first activity after the rapture is going to be a wedding celebration, not a funeral. When we think about this, and we're gone, boom, we hit that trumpet sound and we're out of here, nobody's going to go, oh, we're going to be rejoicing in the Lord. Listen to me. Listen, we all, if you're a believer in here, we all have work to do. We have work to do. We want to depopulate hell and populate heaven, but when we get there, it's time to party. You can't do anything else. But here's the place to work. And I understand Paul's message when he says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Right now, man, we're going to live for Jesus. We're going to do a lot of work. We're going to share the gospel. But when we die, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't like thinking about death. I don't like thinking about losing my friends. As a matter of fact, I downright hate it. But if you're a believer, it allows me to get up the next morning because I know where you are. You're in a great celebration. And that's what breaks my heart. Why would we want to pull somebody back here? Okay, can you imagine being a salesman? Can you imagine being a salesman? And your job to sell earth compared to heaven. You've just seen heaven, Ron, and I've got to convince you, earth is better. Hey, Ron, listen, man, Gloria's not handling it well. You need to come back. Uh-uh. Listen, Matt's all over the place. Listen, Ron, we got beautiful sunsets. I know, but you hadn't seen up here. What else we got? We got oceans. I know. Guys, compared to where we're going, this doesn't compare. And so we say, amen. I'm not going to try to pull you back. Don't try to pull me back. Think about the picture. And I want you to picture this, a wedding reception. Man, there's party music, there's dancing, there's food, there's fun, there's fellowship. And the whole atmosphere is festive. I think that a church should resemble that to a certain degree, don't you? Celebration. The problem, guys, the problem is that in churches, we've taken something that we've celebrated and we've made it about us. And so what happens is that all of a sudden, instead of worshiping the Lord, you're looking at that person going, boy, they're really excited and they're running back and forth and it detracts from the worship of Jesus. But we should still celebrate. Guys, we celebrate from when we come in. How are you? Good to see you. Give me a hug. This is celebration. But we have to be careful. I don't know about you, but I've been in some churches where they never clap during worship. And yet the scripture tells us in Psalm 47, 1 and 2, oh, clap your hands, you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is awesome. That is awesome. Did you know that chapter 12, we're encouraged to sing, to rejoice? That phrase, sing out, is used 116 times in the Bible. Listen, the Lord likes to see his people celebrating. Remember, put your thinking caps on. Chapter 8, people were exhorted not to weep. They were under conviction. He says, rejoice. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is their strength. The joy of the Lord is their strength. And chapter 9 was more about confession, but in verse 5, they exhorted them, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever. So coming to chapter 12, they're rejoicing, and then we're gonna move all the way to verse 27. Chapter 12, verse 27, it says, now at the dedication of the wall in Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to what, guys? To celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving, singing, cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps. Now, I want you to note there were several ingredients in this worship service. You go, what are they? Number one, before they started, they purified themselves. You go, wow. Look at verse 30. Then the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people, the gates, and the walls. You go, wait. Like, what do? If you go to Israel, they have mikvahs. They have baths where they would go in and they would purify themselves and they would walk out and they would dry off. We don't have mikvahs here, you know, but what we do have is we have the Holy Spirit. And before we come into a place like this, we just, Lord, how's it going between us? Just want to be right before you. Try to let the day's problems go away. Come with a heart ready to worship. Come with a heart ready to learn. Come with a heart just excited because they purified themselves. See, there was a ritual of purification that would have involved the offering up of a sacrifice. I get that. But us, we have the Holy Spirit, and we can say, Lord, forgive me. Being honest with you in church, I don't want you to think that, you know, we're perfect, because there have been times in church that I have worshiped with not a pure heart. We've all worked. There's times we've been in prayer meeting and my mind is wandering somewhere else. Okay, Ben, take a step back. Let's purify ourselves before. Okay. The second aspect of their celebration, notice, you ready? Jot this down. It was marked by joy. This is just a great aspect. Look at verse 43. Also that day, they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and children also rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. Oh, church, let me ask you a question. Is there joy in your worship? Is there joy? And again, think about this. The celebration was marked by joy. By joy. You go, well, Ben, what's the opposite? Well, I don't know if it's sad and gloomy, but I don't want to worship sad and gloomy. Our life should be marked with joy. And you go, well, what do you mean? Well, again, think about this, guys. I'm not saying that we have to be like, we're happy all the time and happy. I'm talking about that, just that peace, that joy that you're just like, wow. Why? Because you serve this most amazing creator who loves and wants a relationship with you and talks to you, and you talk to him. It's like, wow. It's by no mistake that in the school of ministry, the first lesson was prayer, and the second lesson was Bible study. You go, why is that? Because our relationship with God is a dialogue. It's not just a mono. It's not just, okay, God, I'm in prayer. Amen. And we're not seeing what God says about it. We're having this dialogue. Okay, Lord, I'm praying about this. I'm praying about this. Pastor friend of mine bought a piece of land for the church, 44 acres. And one of his elders, one of his good friends, came to him and said, you know, I think we made a mistake. I think we need to sell the land. We need to get out of it. And he's like, man, I really respect this guy. I really respect this guy. I don't know what to do. And so he goes, I've got to pray. And so he goes up to the property by himself, and he's praying. And the Lord leads him to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. Do you remember in the book of Joshua, in order when they came into the land, they carried 12 stones, right? And it was a memorial of God was giving them the land. And so he's reading the book of Joshua. He's like, Lord, I think this is our land. And then as they were developing the property, there were these huge boulders off to the left. And the Lord tells my friend, count the stones. And so he goes over there, and we're talking big stones, right? And he said, 1, 2, 3, and he sits down and prays. 4, 5, 6, prays. 7, 8, 9. 10, 11, 12. The same amount of stones in the book of Joshua. And it was at that moment that he said, no, Lord, you've given us this land. We're going to prosper here. And it's like, wow. So God, this is the God we serve. This is the joy we have. I don't want to worship sad and gloomy. I'm reminded of what a little girl said upon seeing a mule for the first time. You know, a little girl saw a mule. I don't know what you are, she says, but you must be a Christian because you look just like Grandpa. The third aspect of celebration is that they marched around the wall, verses 31 through 40. They marched. They split up. They go in opposite directions. What are they doing? They're singing on the wall, marching, ending up at the temple. By marching on the walls, the people had opportunity to see the result of their labors, and they had a chance to see all that God had done. They're marching, singing. What a great principle that is. They got to see the wall. They got to see what they did. Guys, think about it in aspects of fellowship. God is building a wall over here, and you don't see it, but you get to fellowship, and now you see it. Oh, man, God's working over here, too. Amen. God's working. Elizabeth walks in the church, and I look at her, and she smiles at me, and I'm like, yep. She goes, yep, I'm here. And I said, well, this message must be for you. And she goes, it's always for me. God's doing a work in her heart. God's doing a work in their lives. It's amazing. But that's how we see it. Why? Because you worship with your presence here. You worship with your presence. So as we land this plane, third, you worship by your present. Your present, yeah. When God's work is done in God's way, for God's glory, it will not lack support. You worship God by what you give to him. Give him all of your life. We are worthy. You are worthy of it all. You go, amen. If you're singing that to God, he has to be worthy of it all. What are you giving to God? But more importantly, what are you holding back from God? Tonight, as the worship team comes back up, give it all. Say, yes, Lord, all of me. This is my worship. As I worship him in spirit and in truth. Lord, you are so good to us. Thank you for tonight's Bible study. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can cover two chapters, but we saw, Lord, the essence of worship. And even in the midst of worship, we saw volunteers, Lord, and we saw those that are on church staff, and we see those working outside the church, and we saw everyone working together, just amazing. But all that aside, Lord, as we learned the lesson, all that aside, God, today we come with just hearts to worship. And if we're going to sing, you are worthy of it all, then you need to be worthy of it all. Every bit of me, Lord, take it all. Take my struggles, take my victories, take my talents, use them for your glory. I am not my own, Lord. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And I'm praying right now, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us tonight, God. Let ministry happen. Let the tears of joy flow from our eyes that we serve an amazing and wonderful God. And you're going to win. You're going to win. You always win, and we're on the winning team. And joy comes from the fact that we're saved, and we're saved by a loving God who sent his son to die on the cross and reconcile us back to him. There's joy in the fact that we're brothers and sisters. There's joy in the fact that we get to study his word. We still have his word. We're not being persecuted yet, but there's joy. There is joy in the Lord. There is love in his spirit. There is hope in the knowledge of him. Father, as we close our eyes and bow our heads, take it all. Show us, Lord, what we need to surrender to you. Show us what we need to sacrifice at the altar. Show us. Because, Lord, tonight we belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. In Christ.
The walls are rebuilt. The people have returned. God's word has been restored to the sinner, and Jerusalem is filled with the sound of worship. It feels like the perfect ending. But Nehemiah isn't finished. Next time on the Hope Restored series, we move into the final chapter and discover something sobering. It's impossible to experience revival and still drift back into old habits. Nehemiah chapter 13 will remind us that restoration isn't something we simply experience once. It's something we must continue walking in. That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days, a feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast, with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.